following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. And, hey, hope you're having a great time. I hope you're having a good day, and hopefully this will be a fun, enjoyable show. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Please give me a call. We can blab. We can talk. We can do whatever you want. And if you're new to the show, we do the Defense of the Christian Faith. And today I did an hour on being interviewed by a pastor on the doctrine of the Trinity and the person of Christ. And we related it to oneness theology and Unitarianism. And so if that rings a bell, great. If it doesn't, well, stay tuned and you can check things out. All right, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, oh, by the way, so we just let you know that we stay on the line by your... That's interesting, why is that not working? I got some. That's weird. We stay on the line by your donations. If, wow, hold on, I can say something. Hey, Charlie, you know what? The other venues won't let me activate to find out which ones are which. You know that too? Okay. So if something's going on. Maybe YouTube did a thing that prevents us from doing. So you're researching it, right? All right, good. So just let you know that YouTube has penalized me a few times, apparently, for saying things are not politically allowed, not politically correct. This is totalitarianism. And so when I mentioned COVID, that's not a good thing, or the COVID vaccines and how I give information about them, that's not a good thing. And if I talk about the elections, how I'm not convinced that they are trustworthy, I'm not allowed to say those kind of things. Apparently, when I talk like that, YouTube fixes things so that, well, I can't all the details, but we're less effective and less of a reach. And sometimes they just say, I can't produce anything on this venue or there. So this is what's happening. We're actually looking into getting into a new venue altogether, a paid one. So what we may be needing to do is to, what we need to do here is to, well, that's why it didn't work that way. Okay, I get it. So what we need to do is move to a paid venue where people can watch the stuff on YouTube. It won't be on YouTube anymore. It'll be someplace else. So that's what we're talking about because, you know, things happen. I don't believe that things are going to get much better. Maybe they will. I don't know. But we'll just see what happens. Christians are being, you know, silenced more and more. But we can, hey, you know, we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. All we got to do is keep pushing, keep trying, keep talking, let the truth come out. And that's what we can do, and that's what we should do. So praise God for that. Simple solution fix, Charlie. See what we did and what we did wrong, both of us. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, Charlie and I's brains together, probably our IQ total, maybe 50 or 60. That's what I'm thinking. Sometimes we just mess up, and we're smiling about it. All right. Hey, as I was saying, if you want to support the show, all you got to do is go to carm.org/donate, and there's all the information you need right there to be able to support us. We ask $5 a month. $5 a month isn't too much for a ministry that reaches literally millions of people a year. This is no joke. I'm not just saying it. It really does. I keep records, and I can tell you how many people from different countries, what the percentages are. I can tell you all kinds of stuff. I can work them all up, get little details out sometime. But when you support the ministry, you're really supporting an outreach, not just on the radio, but also in the carm.org website that reaches out to every corner of the world and to hundreds and hundreds of people groups. It goes out everywhere. And we consider ourselves a missionary to the internet. We have different languages that we're working on, and not just a generic tracing like or translating of it. Like some websites, hey, here's this tool, they just translate an article. And that's fine, not knocking it. We actually have feet on the ground in Nigeria, Malawi, in in Brazil, in Colombia. We have missionaries out there and in Turkey. and that we're supporting them so that they can do work on the ground where they are to establish centers for the CARM ministry to spread the truth, etc. Because a lot of people don't have internet connection, and so we have people who are just doing all kinds of stuff. So, hey, there you go. And if that sounds interesting and sounds good, you want to support it, $5 a month isn't much. CARM.org/donate. All the information needs right there. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Alex from Orlando, Florida. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
What's going, man? Going. I'm just going 80 miles an hour, and talking to you is a break. So here we go.
Hey, really quick, have you guys tried Twitch at all for streaming?
We're looking into it. What I need to do, or have someone do it for me, because I have to do everything, because there's just so much to do. We need to have someone who would take the different video formats and lay them out, and then, you know, in a column, and then in the horizontal line, say, you know, cost, membership, reach, you know, this various things, so we can see an analysis and know which one the best one to go to. So that's another project I got to do one. But Twitch is one of the
options.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, I say that because James White's been using his program the last couple of days.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, we have to check it out and see, you know. And a lot of times we just go to other ministries and see what they use, because a lot of times they've done the research and then they check things out. And James does great work. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. So my question today, have you heard of the program or the nonprofit Bibles Across America?
I don't recall it. No.
Okay. So I was looking through my books today, last night, and I actually received a Bible from them through a Facebook ad. And the Bible is called the Recovery Version.
Interesting.
And, yeah, it has nothing to do with drug addiction recovery or anything like that, but something with the Textus Receptus and the translation. I was skimming it, but the only thing that concerned me was when I started looking through the Bible was in the beginning, there was a little insert, and it had the sinner's prayer at the end of the insert.
Okay.
So I was calling to see if you had heard anything about them or knew anything.
No. Yeah, having the sinner's prayer doesn't mean it's bad. As long as it's done properly. But, I'm looking at their website and stuff like that. We definitely want more people to spread the truth, give the Word of God out. It's a good thing. So I'm looking at them and looking at what about God is all meant to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, yeah. And, now I can look at their statement of faith and see. You know, so, yeah. Okay. The three, what? God is eternally one. He is also eternally the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three being distinct but not separate. That's a problem in how it's worded. And Christ is both the complete God, perfect man. Yeah, he's divinely conceived in the womb of human, after 3 days resurrected. That's fine. The Spirit, the third of the Trinity is equally God. That's a heresy, actually. His wording. Okay. I know they don't mean it that way. They're not wording it properly. I've actually written to various ministries over the years and said, you have problems in your wording of certain things. This is a better way to word it, and this is why, and things like that. All the Father has and is expressed by the Son, and all that the Son has is... Yeah, I've got some problems. Believers based in this age of the eternal salvation and the coming age of eternity. Yeah, it's a very... in my opinion, not a very sufficient statement of faith. It doesn't mean they're heretical or anything. It just, it's just, you got to do better, guys. You know, they need to do better.
Yeah, maybe look into it a little more when you have some time, because they do have a big outreach on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, they're giving out a lot of Bibles.
Good.
People find their ministry and they go online. And
that's good. Stuff, so. Well, I like that. You know, we need people to give. Oh, look at that. 1,640,004. Bibles have been given away, and 3,115,000 Christian books given away. Yeah, praise God. So, yeah, giving that Word of God out is good stuff, and appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious about that. The other thing, I wanted to give a little promotion for your ministry. I wanted to tell all the listeners out there, you know, times are tough. We all know it. But, you know, the Bible does say if you give, you will receive back. Not in a prosperity, you know, word of faith type way, but in a God-glorifying way. So I'd like to encourage all the listeners, as me and my wife will be increasing our support. I'd like to encourage the other listeners who are supporting to increase their support, or anyone who hasn't given at all, just give $5 a month, because this brother has done a lot for the kingdom, and he has impacted people throughout the whole world. The amount of people I talk to that have been impacted by CARM or use CARM in some sort of resource apologetic method, it's numerous. So I'd encourage all the listeners to really support the ministry.
Well, thanks, Alex. Just so everybody knows, I don't know who Alex is, and that's it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem, brother.
Yeah. That's good. Oh, man. Need to hear, we need more. We do need more support, and a lot of ministries do. You know, it's just to get the word out, and we're trying to do that as much as possible.
Yeah, I run a small nonprofit ministry, Vessels for Christ. We do work overseas, missions work, and, you know, everyone's suffering right now. We see it. You know, we see the impact, but, you know, we want to get the gospel out. And you do a lot of work, you know, 30, 40 plus years of research. I mean, you know, you're not just doing it, you know, half whatever, you know? You know what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm. Well, appreciate that. It's always nice to be, appreciate it. It is a lot of work. People don't realize, to my own a little bit here, but they don't realize how much I work. And I'm not saying, oh, wow, hey, you know, look at, but I really put a lot of time and energy and have for years. It's a passion. I love to do it. But if I were to work 40-hour weeks, that to me, in my life, that is lazy. And I put in 50, 60, I used to put in 70 to 80. It's just what it is. So even now, I'll be teaching tonight, and I've got a guest over, but normally I would be on in chat rooms discussing and then writing notes and expanding information, and then I publish it later. It's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, God bless you, brother. You're in me and my wife's prayers always. So
appreciate it. We really appreciate that, because we certainly need it. That's the most important thing. We need a lot of prayer and support. It's a tough ministry, but praise God. And we're just grateful to be able to do it.
Okay, well, take care. Thanks for answering my question. I appreciate it.
All right, man. God bless. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, God bless. Yep.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I'm looking at something here on the line. And so I want to hear from you. Give me a call. If you got a question about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, atheism, evolution, UFOs, the occult, Eastern Orthodoxy, Christian theology, Arminianism, Calvinism, Lutheranism, all kind, baptism, eternal security, all kinds of stuff. We talk about all kinds of things. If you're interested, give me a call. All right, let's get to Adam from Arkansas. Adam, welcome. You're on the air. Oops, there's a break. Oh, man, break time. Hey, sorry, buddy. Can you hold on? Okay, sorry about that.
Absolutely.
All right, hey, we'll be right back with Adam after these messages. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right, let's get to back on here with Adam from Arkansas. Adam, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I have a friend that is stuck on battling with full preterism. Is there any verses that you can help combat that? I know with Acts 1, 6 through 9, but that's
9 to 11.
9 to 11. Yeah.
Now, just coincidentally, I was interviewed by a pastor today, a couple, 3 hours ago, and full preterism came up. And I talked about Acts 1, 9 to 11. And is often the case, people will say, well, yeah, we know about that. The preterists will say, yeah, we know, but look at this, look at that. And then we're off and running to a different direction. And I told him, I said, look, I'm just going to camp out right there. I'm just going to say Acts 1, 9 to 11. I'm going to go over and over and over that section of Scripture. And the reason I'm going to do it is because it refutes full preterism. It just does. Full preterism saying that Jesus returned in the armies of Jerusalem. And so I actually got him at one point when I said, because he was giving me counter arguments from people he's heard, I said, and you know what I'm going to respond with? And he laughed and goes, Acts 1, 9 to 11. That's right. And I just kept, I'm serious. It is the primary place you got to go to. And this is what it says. And people don't know what full preterism is, so let me explain. They teach that Jesus returned in 70 AD in the armies of Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem as a judgment upon Israel. And that was his return. That's what it means. Everything was fulfilled by that time. And so, okay, so he returned then. Well, this is what Acts 1, 9 to 11 says. I know you already know this, but this is for people who are listening. And after he said had said these things, that's Jesus, okay, because Jesus had said, you'll be with, you know, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, even in the remotest part of the earth. This is Jesus talking. That's verse 8 of Acts 1. Verse 9, and after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So I asked the preterist, was he lifted up where the clouds are? Now, they don't want to answer because they know where I'm going. And they'll, you know, give me these different answers. I'll say, let me ask you another question. Did he ascend up into the clouds? And they might give me another answer, and I'll say, let me ask you another question. Did he ascend up into the clouds? And I go over and over this until they say, well, yes. Okay, good. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, right, or into heaven, right, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? So I ask them, where are they looking to? The sky. Isn't that where the clouds are? Yes. Okay. This Jesus who's taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So he's going to return the same way you watched him go up into the sky. Full preterism is now refuted. Done. And what's going to happen? You got to understand. They're going to say, well, you see. And then they're going to go into something, and you say, can I ask you a question? Yeah. Can we look at Acts 1, 9 to 11 again? And you go through it. Does it say lift it up into the sky? And you go over and over it like you're talking to a first grader. And the reason is because they're so entrenched in this idea that everything, this idea that everything was fulfilled before 70 AD and at 70 AD. That this verse, this pericope, can't mean what it actually says. And they'll go to varying verses in Revelation. They'll go to varying verses in Isaiah. You know, and they, well, this means this, this means that over there. Great! Are you trying to set Scripture against Scripture? Because what they want to do is submit Acts 1, 9 through 11 to their interpretation by going to other Scriptures which are vague and then saying the vague area interprets this literal area. That's what they're doing. And I'll go over and say, it says he was lifted up while looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So when they're looking up, and that's where a cloud is, are they looking into the sky? I mean, how can you say no? If they do, I just let them blow hot air until they're done, and I say, so it says, and I'll say it again, in Acts 1, 9 through 11, he was lifted up while looking on, and a cloud received him in their sight. So were they in, did he go up where the clouds are? Well, you see, and then I'll wait. So it says, lifted up into the heaven, or in while well, they look up in the cloud, receive them out of their sight. So what is that again? They get upset with me because I just camp out on it. That's what you got to do. Just camp out on it.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Okay.
I really appreciate your ministry.
All right, butter. All right, man.
So,
Anything else? No? Okay. All right, all right. We got three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Give me a call, and we can talk. Let's see. You got that note right there. Okay, let's get to next longest wait in person. It's Chuck from Burlington. Hey, welcome, Chuck. You're on the air.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. Matt, have you heard of the Conversion Center in Hagerstown, Maryland?
No, I haven't.
It's probably, I'll bet, the top conversion center with tracks, like, in the country. It's Catholic.
Wait. It's Catholic?
No, it's too Catholic to get them paid.
Oh, I did not know about this.
Yeah, like I'm talking to Mark, you know, he's the guy who runs, who's in charge of it. And I talked to him today, but the last time I talked to him, they were sending 400,000 tracks, I think, to Honduras.
Oh, wow. Can you...
And they're good quality.
Email me their contact information, where the website and everything? Because I'm looking, I'm not seeing what it is. And I'd rather guess... Because I don't want any ones to be got out. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, how do I email you?
Well, you go on a computer, and then you do this thing called typing, and put them. Yeah, that's how you do it. You can email me at info@carm.org. Okay, info@carm.org.
I can do that on my iPhone.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you the information because I got some in the mail. He's a dear man. He has a bunch of kids, doesn't have much money. You know, sometimes I'll say to him, well, how about, you know, how are you doing for money? Because I'm doing okay. And then he says, well, really not too okay.
Yeah.
Funny. But he's a...
Okay.
Just a simple guy, you know. He's an independent Baptist, I suspect, like I am, but we're not all bad, you know.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Send me the information.
A lot today, too. Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry, what?
Info@farm.org. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was sending some more out today. He travels a lot to, get support. But they put out some crack. A lot. Okay, Matt.
Okay.
And we love your ministry, too. It's great, brother.
Well, praise God.
Keep on keeping on, like I tell you. Okay, thanks, Matt. Yeah. I'll see you later.
All right, brother. God bless. All right, that was Chuck from Burlington. We have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. If you want to give me a call at the bottom of the hour here, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call. We can talk. Let's get to Amore, I guess, from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, this is Amor here. I'm kind of regular caller once in a while. But the one I want to ask is, I told you before, I used to be a Roman Catholic from Philippines many years ago. But I get this friend belong to this called Coptic Church, and I ask him, are you about the same as a Catholic? I don't get quite what he's explaining to me. Is this Roman? I know what Roman Catholicism is, but this Coptic Church, like Coptic Orthodox, whatever, are they? I've never heard before. Are they almost the same or just different?
They're very similar, and I don't know all the differences. I would love to be able to not have 1,800 things to do, and be able to just produce a table that shows the differences between them as well as the similarities. So Catholic means universal, and then there's Eastern Catholic and Western Catholic. Generally, the Western Catholic Church is called the Roman Catholic. The Eastern can be Coptic or Eastern Orthodoxy, generally. And so there are derivations. I think within Roman Catholicism, there's like 22 rites. They call them R-I-T-E-S. And there are, let's just say, different interpretations of how these denominations that they claim are Catholic are interrelated in what they believe and what they assert. So it's been a little confusing when I try and figure it all out. I just haven't really studied it that hard because I just really haven't needed to. If it comes up a lot, then I start studying it. But the papacy, the Roman Catholic system, that's, of course, apostate. And my understanding and research in Eastern Orthodoxy, it also is apostate. And the reason is because both add works to salvation, and that just nullifies the gospel right there. And the Coptic, I don't know too much about, but it looks like they're the same. They do the same thing. So
he told me that they also have like a pope. It's not a pope branch or anything like that. But do you have also a pope? Yeah, but it's another pope. Really? What kind of? So right. so okay. So also they. So they, it must like the way you tell me. It looked like also they also have like not by faith alone. You have to work, all work and faith combined type things like something like that.
Yeah, it's like that. So the biblical doctrine is that we're justified before God by faith alone in Christ alone, not by participation in sacraments, not by baptism combined with faith, but by our faith in Christ, and that alone is what justifies us. All false religions add works to the finished work of Christ. And the illustration I give to try and drive this home is to do a little visual cue with them, a little visual thing. And I say, pretend that you are on your knees, your hands and knees, and you're crawling slowly up a hill. And it's a muddy, dirty hill. And you know that at the top of the hill is the cross. And as you approach, you dare not look up. And maybe you might see the blood trickled in the mud, mixed. And you're not going to look up. He's too holy. And you stop because you're there and you're at the place of the crucifixion. And you don't go any further. And that is all you have. Is what he did. And then you hear the footsteps of someone, and he's walking past you, and he keeps going towards the cross. And his head's bowed, and he's trying to be humble. Maybe he's, by that time he's crawling. And he keeps approaching the cross, and then he takes a bag of his works, like his sacraments, his baptism, his keeping the Sabbath, or whatever it might be. And he nails it to the cross, and then with humility backs away. And what he's saying is that he hopes that God will accept the sacrifice and his efforts for salvation. That's what the Eastern Orthodox is doing. That's what the Roman Catholic Church is doing.
Yes.
And they'll say, no, these are the works God gave me to do. And there's still things you've done. And that's not how we're made right before God. So this is the visual I try and set in people's hearts and minds to understand and to teach them that only the cross is occupied, that cross is occupied only by Christ and his work, not ours. Because our work is not equal to that cross. Otherwise, why would such a person, so to speak, nail it to the cross, say, my faith in Christ, his sacrifice, and what I do will be acceptable to God and why I'll be saved. They're elevating their works and their efforts to that level of Christ's sacrifice, saying the combination is what will save me. And that's heresy. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah,
it's a strong visual.
I always listen to you. Yeah, continue what you're doing, and God bless you always.
Okay, man. Well, God bless, buddy. All right.
Thank you, man.
Okay. All right. Well, we have nobody waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. So here's one of the things I'll ask Catholics and stuff. I'll say, sin is breaking the law of God. And that's 1 John 3:4. And the Bible says that Jesus bore our sin in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. And he made a legal or lawful atoning sacrifice, as he said in John 19:30, it's finished. And that's where he canceled our sin debt, Colossians 2:14. So, if every single sin and sin debt you've ever committed has been canceled, then how is it possible for you to lose your salvation since there's no sins left that you can be held against? And also, if he's the one who did all the work and canceled the sin at the cross, why would it be necessary for anybody to say, I need to keep myself saved by my goodness? And you think about that. Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, they all say the same kind of thing, in that their faith in God and their works. Now, in Islam, they don't believe in Christ. Of course, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses don't either. They believe in someone they call Christ. They call him Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. That's another topic. But all false religions always want to add their own efforts and their own goodness to the finished work of God. God in Christ on that cross. They want to traipse through the mud up the hill. And they want to nail to that cross their efforts, their sincerity, their goodness, their works. And then in their self-proclaimed humility, they back away. And they say, see, I've proven that I believe in you. I've proven that my works prove I believe. But that's not what saves you. It cannot be added to the finished work of Christ. Because to say that I need to do something in addition is to say what Christ did on that cross is not enough. Because if it was enough in and of itself to save you, then you'd be justified by faith alone in Christ alone, what he did on that cross alone. But if you teach that your works have to contribute and keep yourself right with him, whether it means going to church or getting baptized or not doing bad things or doing good things, and this combination of what you have done and what you feel and what you testimony about in relationship and in addition to the cross of Christ, and that you say this combination of things is what will guarantee or hopefully make you saved and you get to go be with God, then you're saying what Christ did on the cross alone is not enough. It's not enough. And that you, in your sinfulness, you have to go and finish what he didn't do. He didn't complete it on the cross? Of course he did. He finished it. He says in John 19:30, it is finished. And this is why it's so simple and easy for me to say, not with arrogance, not with regret, but with confidence, that when the Roman Catholic Church, for example, says this, that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments, then they're adding their works to the cross of Christ, and they're saying the cross of Christ is not sufficient. Where do you stand with that? There's a break. 5 open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Folks, we'll be right back. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Nobody's waiting right now in the last segment of the hour. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, now before the break, I was talking about the issue. The cross of Christ is either sufficient in and of itself to save, or it's not sufficient in and of itself to save. When it's insufficient, then people will add works. Now, in Mormonism, for example, in 2 Nephi 25:23, it says you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. So what they're doing is adding works. And in Jehovah's Witness Theology, in 1983, page 15, I think it's April 1st, Watchtower, it says that the second commandment's more difficult. This is for salvation. That's to keep God's commandment. The second method, requirement for salvation is keep God's commands. So they always say that, you know, you've got to keep God's commands. And the further you go, the worse the heresy can become. This is why people, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, are not Christians, because they have a false gospel. Now, in Roman Catholicism, because we're talking about this stuff about Catholic and things like that, I'm going to read you something. Now, this is out of Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott, page 213. This book is official in that it represents Roman Catholic theology, and it contains the Neolobstadt and the Imprimatur. These are approvals. That means that the Roman Catholic Church approves of what's taught in it, and it's worthy of being disseminated to Catholics. So now think about the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Now, before I read this quote, I want to ask you, who was on the cross? It was Jesus. Was anybody else up there with him? I'm not talking about the two thieves. They're different crosses. On his cross, was there anybody else? And the answer is no. He's alone. Then if he's alone, then he alone made the atonement. Simple. No one was there with him. No one else bore our sins in his body. It was Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. He alone made the atoning sacrifice. This is Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, Ludwig Ott, page 213. Christ alone truly offered the sacrifice of atonement on the cross. In the power of the grace of redemption merited by Christ, Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of man. Now that's what it says. I'm just reading it word for word. Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of man. Now, this is blasphemy. Mary did not help make atonement. It was Jesus alone, God in flesh, who was on that cross. No one was with him. He did it alone. But because the Roman Catholic Church has a false gospel, they don't believe in the sufficiency of Christ on the cross. They don't believe in the sufficiency of his work alone on that cross. They don't believe in that. No, he did something, and that something enables you to be able to keep yourself right with God. That's what it is. This is what false theology is. Jesus accomplished something in the garden, on the cross, and you are then able, through cooperation with what he did, by doing good things, you're then able to ensure, or hopefully ensure, the forgiveness of your sins. But here's the thing. Colossians 2:14 says he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees, which was hostile to us. He took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now you got to think about that. That's Colossians 2:14. He took away our sin debt at the cross. Because sin is a legal debt. And Jesus equated sin with legal debt. Our Father, heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our sins and forgive us our debts. That's Matthew 6:12, Luke 11:4, the parallel accounts. So he equates sin with legal debt. Jesus says it's finished. His legal payment was done. The atonement was accomplished. But it also says he canceled the certificate of debt at the cross. It does not mean it's canceled when you believe. It does not mean it's canceled when you get baptized. It's canceled having nailed it to the cross. Colossians 2:14. I suggest everybody take a look at that verse. It's what it says. Now, we're justified when we believe, but the sin debt's canceled at the cross. Now, there's some interesting theology in between those two statements, but I won't get into it right now. But what we have in false groups is a denial of those words that is canceled at the cross. If your sin debt's canceled at the cross, and you can't keep your salvation by doing good because the sin is removed. Jesus did it. And so when you have an insufficiency in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, then you have a false gospel. So Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for our sins. You know, fundamental Catholic dogma, page 213. Or, if you deny yourself of all ungodliness, then is God's grace sufficient for you. It's Moroni, 10:32, in the Book of Mormon. See, what religions do is teach a false gospel. True religion, true Christianity, teaches the true gospel. Now, let me see if I can find it really quickly in the Quran. Notice what the Quran says. Then when the trumpet is blown, there will be no more relationships between them that day, nor will they ask one another. This is, now it's verse 102. Then those whose balance of good deeds is heavy, they will attain salvation. But those whose balance is light will be those who have lost their souls in hell. Will they abide? That's Surah 23, 102 and 103. So what's happening is, that's how interchangeable they are to me. Islam teaches if you do enough good works, you'll be saved. See, in false religions that affirm the crucifixion of Christ, because Islam doesn't, but in false religions that affirm the crucifixion of Christ, his work enables you to do a balance of good deeds versus bad deeds by which you're then ultimately saved. That's it. And so the only difference between that and Islam is they don't have the cross. But they teach the same method. Same method. The balance of good deeds is greater than the balance of bad deeds. You'll obtain salvation. In Mormonism, you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. That's Moroni 10, or 2 Nephi 25:23. So you see, what they're teaching is bad stuff. Why? Because they don't believe in the completed work of Christ on the cross and that it's sufficient to save us. All false religions deny that. All right, let's get to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I've been listening to your discussion, and one thing that Calvinists do when they're criticizing people who don't believe in sola fide is they make it seem like we believe that works are what saves us in addition to Christ's crucifixion. In reality, what usually people believe is that it's obedience.
What church do you go to? What church do you go to?
I don't attend any church, actually, at the moment.
So, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, is Jesus Christ God in flesh? Okay, so you're not a Christian. All right, so you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian, and you don't understand the biblical theological.
Well, you're not actually discussing what I call in to.
Okay, I was talking, and then he just jumped over my words, so I put him on hold. I need to finish the sentence without being rudely interrupted. This gentleman is not a Christian. He does not understand the biblical doctrine of salvation. That's all I was saying. Go ahead, Anthony.
I was just going to say, I called it and I made a point, and then you went to a completely different subject that had nothing to do with my original comment.
Well, yes, it did, because you're making a comment. I'm drawing off of what you said. And so,
well, you're asking me about my beliefs.
I have been doing this for decades, and so I kind of know how to cut to the chase. Do you have a question?
Well, my point was that You're mischaracterizing the beliefs of non-Calvinists and people and Arminians and.
Excuse me, I didn't talk about Arminians. I talked about Roman Catholics, and I read their document. I quoted from Mormonism, and I referenced the Jehovah's Witness stuff. I then read from the Quran. How am I misrepresenting them?
Well, the phrase that is usually used is this, is you make it about work. It's like how you'll ask, okay, like how many.
So I asked you, how am I misrepresenting them? You said I was misrepresenting them. So how was I misrepresenting them?
The understanding is that it's not like work. It's not doing good deeds that gets us into heaven.
Anthony, I'm going to just say this confidently. You don't know who Christ is. You don't know what the issues are. You haven't studied them from the original documents of those respective groups, and you just don't know. You're speaking out of, and no disrespect,
right,
man. You're speaking out of your ignorance. All right, let's get to Ralph from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ralph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll get right to it here. I'm reading the book of Daniel, chapter 27. And in verse, that's the last verse, and it says, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. And then it goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, if we look at the pronoun he, sometimes our pronouns added later or there, because I don't see this in my talent, so maybe it is the way it's written. But
it's in the Hebrew, it's third person masculine, singular. I'm looking at my computer program that helps. And unlike English, where we have a separate pronoun generally, like he went, he said, in Hebrew here, they have it. It's similar to Spanish, where the third person singular can be he, she, or it. It's in the formation of the conjugation of the verb. So it's there, and it's third person singular. Okay, so, and he will make it. Okay.
All right, so that now, so it's referring back, I believe, to the previous verse 26, where it talks about the Messiah, and then later in that verse, it talks about the prince who was to come. So it's either referring back to the Messiah or the prince, and I believe the prince would be the Antichrist, most people believe.
Mm-hmm.
So then my question is, does the he in verse 27 refer to the Messiah or the Antichrist? Because that makes all the difference in the world.
Because it says he will make a firm covenant with the many, and the many is a phrase used in Romans 5:19, which is very interesting. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering on the wing of abominations. So it's the bad guy. And we're out of time. Call back tomorrow. We can talk about it some more, okay? We're just out of time. Sorry about that. Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you. I hope you enjoyed the show today. And please pray for us. We certainly need that. And by His grace, and only by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. See you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.